Support for this show comes from Sylvan Learning. When children love learning, they can tackle any challenge life throws at them. Sylvan's Insight Assessment can help you determine if your child is ready for what's ahead. It can also identify gaps in learning and point out areas that could be of concern for your child so they can tackle what's to come. And right now, it's the best price of the year at $29. Go to sylvan29.com to learn more and get your child's assessment for only $29. That's sylvan29.com.
Welcome to a very special episode of the Orange and Black Insider Bengals podcast. As we mentioned, we have a jammed week with a lot of different fun guests. And John, we have traditions and we have favorite guests on this show. And that collides today here with our special episode. How are you, bud?
I'm doing great, man. We got one of our favorite guests, as you alluded to. And I feel like now's the time to bring him on. Ken Anderson. How about that?
Ken Anderson, Mr. All Legend. Right. Ken Anderson.
All right.
How are you, sir?
I'm doing great. You know, another playoff year for the Bengals, another home playoff game for the Bengals. Life gets good.
Hey, are you going to the game this weekend?
I is going.
You is going. Okay, I like it. Well, we'll talk about that. Obviously, a big week for the Cincinnati Bengals because the big wild card matchup on Sunday night, but also it's a big week because it was the anniversary of the Freezer Bowl, and what other way could we start off a conversation with you, sir, then reflections on that. It's been a long time since we have talked to you, so we'll hear more about the updates on Ken Anderson Alliance and all the great things you're doing there. But Freezer Bowl, just as the years kind of pass, and a special year where the Bengals make the playoffs, so just, I don't know if you've got just some new reflections or new thoughts or anything that just kind of pops up at the top of your mind this time of year because of that game.
Anytime the temperature dips below 50, I'm reminded that I played in that game, as I better have some gloves on as my fingertips get cold and my body starts shaking. But I think for all the guys that played that game, it's a source of pride for us that, you know, it is the coldest day in NFL history with the wind chill factor considered at minus 59, and that we could go out and play and execute under those conditions, I think is, you know, makes us all pretty proud. I always tell that my favorite story of that is that they brought the heated benches in and we have never had them before. And so we're there and we're sitting on them. You know, I'm sitting on them. It's the middle of the first quarter. They got little slots for your feet to go in, and I'm sitting on my hands. And luckily I have my helmet on because there's a loud roar in the crowd. I stand up to see if I'm going to go into the game if there's a turnover. My feet don't come out, and I go down, and the first thing that hits is my face mask, and I'm seeing stars, and I'm calling for the trainer smelling salts. My gosh, I can't get knocked out of the AFC Championship game falling off the dang bench. And finish the game, but, you know, when you think about it, back in January of 1982, there weren't all the TV cameras covering the game that there are now. There weren't cell phones, you know, like crazy. And so it wasn't caught on video, thank God. They'd still be showing it today. But, you think in today's world, I may have had to go in NFL concussion protocol and not finish the game.
Yeah, blue tent, right?
Every time we hear about the Freezer Bowl, we hear like a news story, a new anecdote, and it always surprised me. Smelling salts, like that had to be crazy. How's that for concussion protocol?
Oh gosh! Thank God, Marv Pollins had some in his pocket.
Well, leading up to that game, you guys in 1981 went on a very similar run to, I guess, what this Bengals team is going on. This team has won now, I guess, 8 games in the games that haven't played, and you guys went 7-1 leading up to the Freezer Bowl against the Chargers, because you started 5-3, you ended 12-4. Very nice run to the end of that. Do you remember, like, during that stretch of games when you were consistently – when you had the one loss to San Francisco 49ers, do you remember, like, when things started to click so consistently when you pulled off those stretch of wins?
Well, you know, I think it started with the month of November. You know, we had five games in November, and you've got to win in November to set yourself up for a playoff run. And we played five teams, all playoff contenders, and we did not have a close game that month. So that's when I think, you know, we figured out we're going to be a pretty good football team. And then the first game of December, the 49ers came to town. And I know I injured my foot in that game, and I think I went out in the first quarter. I mean, we got beat in that game and, you know, managed to finish the season. I think another satisfying thing is we clinched the division in Pittsburgh against the Steelers, and that was still at the time that the road to the Super Bowl goes through Pittsburgh. And for us to go in there and beat them, clinch the division title, and then finish up in Atlanta the next week, that gave us home field advantage throughout the playoffs. So that was a nice run. And you could see the emotion growing in the city, you know, as that streak continued, and the excitement. And that's when the orange and black face paint came out and the orange and black wigs. And, you know, you see the stadium at Riverfront ringed with banners on the lower level. And, you know, there's great shots, you know, from the AFC Championship game, them whipping in the wind where you really couldn't read them. So, you know, just to see the city come alive, and then to have our first home playoff game against Buffalo, and we won, was really a good playoff game. We beat them 28-21, so it was really a well-played game by both. But, you know, the crowd came into effect. You know, they're going down trying to tie the game late, and they took a delay of game because of the crowd noise. So we owe the crowd a big assist on that one.
Talking with Ken Anderson, Bengals great, member of the inaugural class of the Ring of Honor at now Paycor Stadium, not Paul Brown Stadium, but happy to be chatting with him on the anniversary week of the Freezer Bowl and, of course, teeing off the Bengals' big clash against the Ravens on Sunday night. I've got kind of a question I'll tack on to one I had here. I mean, you talked a little bit about, obviously, how cold the Freezer Bowl was and everything. I'm sure the players going into that week knew that a cold front was going to come in and, you know, it was going to be extremely cold. You know, what was kind of the mindset in terms of preparation with knowing that is coming in the back of your mind? And then we've got kind of a tack on question here from one of our listeners. How much does Mr. Anderson think the weather hurt the Chargers from my Southern California area going in and playing in that kind of weather?
Well, you know, we went out and we always practice at the stadium on Saturdays for a home game. And we do more, we did with Forrest Gregg, we did more on Saturdays than most teams do on Fridays now. In fact, probably as much as they do on Thursdays. I mean, we although we weren't in pads, we were in helmets. And, you know, we had 7-on-7, we had team, we had 1-on-1. I mean, it was a full-speed practice. So we kind of got, you know, used to that a little bit. And then I remember San Diego came out, they kind of walked out, and they really didn't do anything, you know, that day. But, you know, I think, you know, as far as the question, do you think it affected San Diego? I'm sure it did. But, you know, you got to remember, earlier in the year, we went out to San Diego and we beat them convincingly. It was 41-17, something like that. And had they won that game, that AFC Championship game would have been in San Diego. So we certainly earned the right to play it at Riverfront Stadium.
So going forth a year later, in 1982, you guys just went to the Super Bowl. You have aspirations and hopes of going back. And then the player strike happens, right? The season gets shortened down to, I think, 9 games. But still, in that season, you rattled off a lot of wins. I think once play started resuming back in November and December, obviously that's a huge variable that kind of gets in the way of everything. But do you remember going into that season and then handling the strike, like what the mindset was about getting back to the Super Bowl and sustaining that success? And can it kind of speak to what that process is like after having such a successful season the year before?
Well, you know, I think after going and losing in a heartbreaking game to San Francisco, I think we all expected to go back again the next year. And, you know, the strike came in. But, you know, if you remember, I think we had the second best record in the league that year at 7-2. And I think Oakland might have been at that time 8-1. And so we got a home playoff game. And, you know, the Jets came into town and it was kind of, you know, just a fluky game. And I remember one time, you know, I threw a touchdown pass. It was called back from holding. We overcame that penalty, and I threw another touchdown pass in the same series. It was called back for holding, and we overcame that in the same series. And I threw an interception down on the 5-yard line, and you know, that was the game that Freeman McNeil kind of ran crazy. He had about 200 yards rushing and threw a touchdown pass, and you know, all of a sudden our season is over, and you're just kind of numb to the whole deal. So it was, you know, you never know what's going to happen and how hard it is to get back, and it certainly was for us.
Freeman McNeil, you got me getting nostalgic with names like that being brought up, talking with Ken Anderson, Bengals legend. Always grateful for his time. And, of course, please go support the Ken Anderson Alliance. We're going to hear about that in just a couple of minutes. They're doing awesome, awesome work, and they are expanding in what they do. And we can't wait to hear from Mr. Anderson about all the new things that they are doing there. But please go support that great charity. Look, I mean, the talking point this week has been a lot of, you know, were the Ravens kind of pushing the line a little bit with the physicality of their play? We've heard a lot of things, and you have firsthand experienced a lot of things with the Pittsburgh Steelers and their style of play over the years. So you have an interesting perspective because obviously you had a Hall of Fame type career with the Cincinnati Bengals, and you've also coached for the Pittsburgh Steelers. So you've seen old AFC Central. You've obviously watched a lot of the new AFC North. That's a relative term, I guess. But you know, you've seen a lot of both. So I would just love to get your perspective on, you know, when you played against the old Oilers, the Steelers, the Browns, obviously, and then now you've got the talking points this week. You have experience with the Steelers. I don't know. Is there just kind of something in those cultures, the Baltimore, the Steelers, that maybe we should know about?
Well, you know, and I think you go back to the Bengals, and you could probably think of some instances over the years that the Bengals had against those as well. But I think it just goes to show that maybe this is the most physical division in football when you talk about the participants, and that's the style that they play. And so, you know, you just adjust to it, and you know what it's going to be like going into the game. You prepare yourselves for it, and, you know, whether you want to, you know, say, well, you got to bring two chin straps to this one or bring your lunch bucket, it's going to be a long week. You know, those are the kind of things that the coaches talk about. But you know what the game is going to be, and you got to buckle up, and you got to go play, and you got to be physical.
So when it comes to game planning against a division rival in back-to-back weeks, there's obviously challenges that kind of come to that. When it comes to preparation, studying film, is it almost like things are more streamlined because you just played them, you have their tendencies kind of knocked down? Like, what are the challenges that come with that maybe we don't know from the outside?
Well, I think it's a little bit different because, you know, Lamar Jackson didn't play. They didn't play their tight end. They didn't play the running back Dobbins. They didn't play Zeitler, one of their offensive linemen. They held, you know, some starters out. So, you know, they're going to adjust their game plan a little bit. They're going to show you some things that that you hadn't prepared for. But by the same token, you know, listening to the Bengals, I think T. Higgins was one that said, you know, we didn't show them everything either. So you go, and it's the same thing as, you know, you got to go out and you got to execute. And, you know, the design of the play has contingencies, and you got to make sure everybody's on the same play. And if they want to come with a blitz, the quarterback's got to read it, you know, throw it hot, adjust the protections. The receiver's got to be crisp on their routes. You know, you got to hit the right holes running it. So, you know, it goes back to fundamental football. And usually the team that makes the fewest amount of mistakes will win.
Was this, I mean, I know there are a lot of different possibilities, especially with the scary situation that happened against the Buffalo Bills and that kind of altering all kinds of playoff seeding and whatnot. But in your estimation, were the Ravens kind of the toughest possible draw in the opening round for the Cincinnati Bengals? And I asked that because, I mean, obviously, you know, the Chargers possibility was lingering out there, and Herbert's a scary player and whatnot, and they're kind of getting hot as well. A couple of other possibilities, but I asked this question because I always get weird, for lack of better words, when a team has to play a division rival and play them a third time. That's such just like an enigmatic type of situation. So I guess from where you sit, do you find this to be one of the toughest possible draws for the Bengals? Or is it because the quarterback issues that the Ravens are having, maybe it makes it a favorable one?
Who knows? You know, what's one statistic I think I've seen thrown around is that, you know, when a team is facing a team for the third time in the playoffs, that the team, you know, is 14-9, you know, against the, you know, and winning it. So it's, you know, you would think it maybe a little higher than that, but you know, it's, you know, maybe it's a good thing that there is a familiarity with what you're doing, how they play, you know, their personnel a little bit better than maybe most of the teams that would have to come in and play. But, you know, again, I don't think it makes a whole lot of difference. It's just, you know, how you go about, how you're prepared mentally. And one of the things I think our coaching staff does a great job of having this team ready to play. We have a bunch of smart players. And I think when you talk to, you know, the defensive coordinator, you know, Lou Anarumo, that, you know, he can do a lot of things because the players can handle it. So they've got a lot in their playbook, and the coaches adjust well. And so, you know, here we go. Let's strap them up Sunday night. Let's go play.
So we had, you mentioned the coaching staff and the job that they've done. We had a question from Mark Graves. He's asking, how does Zach Taylor compare to Forrest Gregg? And I want to take that just a step further, because this team finished 12-4 despite all the adversities, whether you talk about the play calling issues in the beginning of the year, the injuries that they've had to go through, and now they're at 12-4. And I think the end of the season kind of was a little bit more of a low key, like, yeah, they're here. They've won 12 games. They tied the franchise record that you guys did back in 1981. Is this, like, describe the job that Zach Taylor has done this year despite everything that they've had to overcome, and I guess describe him in his growth as a coach.
Well, you know, you said compare the two. There is no comparison. You know, with Forrest Gregg, the third practice we have was the old nutcracker drill, the Oklahoma drill in training camp, and we hit in practice. You know, our Fridays during the regular season were in full pads. It was a scrimmage because it was short yardage and goal line, and that's the way that it was. And so it was very physical. But, you know, in today's football, you know, I think Zach did a tremendous job this year. You know, they played the longest season in NFL history, and the way he kind of backed off on the off-season workouts and that kind of stuff. And, you know, teams now go a little bit easier in training camp, and, you know, guys don't play. And, you know, when the Bengals started off 0-2, he goes, what the heck is he thinking? These guys aren't ready to play. But you're getting ready for a 17-game season. And, you know, sure enough, they came out and turned things around as was expected. And he's got a lot of confidence in his players. And, you know, when he first got here, he talked about the culture he wanted to create in the locker room. And when you don't win for the first couple of years, oh, what's he talking about there? But all of a sudden now, when he's got the guys in the locker room that he wants, he's got a lot of leaders. They're looking for guys that were team captains and really love football. And this team, you know, understands the process that you have to go through to be successful, and they're willing to pay the price to do it. When you hear Zach talking about, you know, I don't mind giving them a victory Monday because, you know, as Jesse Bates says, you know, I got there on a victory Monday at 9:30, and, you know, 95% of the team was already there, you know, getting a lift in, getting treatment, getting started on the next week. These guys are good football players. They're smart football players. They're dedicated football players. And, you know, so you can go ahead and do things to give them a little bit of a break physically so that they're going to be strong going into the playoffs, which I think the Bengals are.
Support for this show comes from Sylvan Learning. As a parent, you want your child to have every opportunity. But giving them the tools they need to tackle every challenge, that takes a team. Now more than ever, educational support tailored exactly to what your child needs can make all the difference. That's why parents have trusted Sylvan Learning for 45 years as the ultimate teammate in their child's educational journey, instilling in them a love for learning and a passion for reaching the next level. And Sylvan's Insight Assessment can identify gaps in learning and areas that could be of concern for your child. It's a 360-degree view into your child's learning that you can't find anywhere else, and helps ensure that your child didn't miss something in school that might put them at a disadvantage in the future. And right now, it's the best price of the year at $29. Go to sylvan29.com to learn more and get your child's assessment for only $29. That's SYLVAN29.com.
Talking with Ken Anderson, going to spend a few more minutes with him as we talk about his great career, the Freezer Bowl, and of course the Bengals' upcoming matchup against the Baltimore Ravens. We've got kind of a question here. I love this because it's a bridge question from your team that you got to the Super Bowl, as well as this one this year from Mark Graves talking about, you know, how cohesion and, you know, where that was. Do you see similarities with the 1981 Bengals team like the one this year? I don't know how much time you spent necessarily with this group of guys. Obviously, it's a different situation with you. You had built up quite the resume and quite the career at the point when you took the Bengals to the Super Bowl, as opposed to Burrow being so early in his career. But I don't know, any similarities that you see here in terms of team cohesion, team chemistry, that sort of thing, between your great squad and this year's team that is looking to go back to the Super Bowl?
Oh, no question. And I think any time that you're successful, that you have a great group of guys, you know, that like each other. And, you know, we had the advantage of, you know, longer training camps, because there was, you know, was no off-season programs, because we all got jobs in the off-season. We weren't making that amount of money. And so our off-season was training camp. But yet, you know, so I remember we used to be in Wilmington, you know, sometimes 9 weeks before we broke. But, you know, that's when, you know, you're kind of there. And it's just the guys. And I remember, you know, they had a little bar about two blocks from campus. And, you know, we didn't really have a great weight program back then. And so when practice ended, you know, you'd have 50 guys go grab a beer. And then after we never filmed a practice until Forrest Gregg got there. But he had a little time at night and we go out the bowling alley. So guys hung around together. And now, you know, these guys, they spend more time during the season with their teammates than they do their families. And, you know, like I say, they've got great leaders that are accountable. And I think we had the same thing, you know, so and they got weapons. We had the same thing. They had a stout defense. We had the same thing. So, you know, I think just a lot of similarities. And I think you go to the 1988 team and I think you'd see the same thing. That a very cohesive locker room is what makes a successful football team.
All right, Ken, you're going to be down to the game Sunday night. Your name is on the Ring of Honor. You're one of the greatest players in franchise history. I think we have an idea of where you're going to go with this game, but just final thoughts on this matchup and maybe the Bengals playoff run going forward if they get past this game.
Well, you know, I expect them to play very well. I expect them to win. You know, I think even – you know, Joe said last week he did not have his best game. He missed some throws that he always makes. He said, I won't miss those again. You know, I think they, you know, without having Dobbins, they still ran the football a little bit better than I thought they could against us. And I think our defense will handle that. You know, they didn't have Lamar, but they threw the ball for 286 yards. I think we'll make adjustments there. So I expect us to play a real good game and to handle this one. And gosh, you know, the news today is Damar Hamlin got released from the hospital in Buffalo.
Yeah. Yes,
and,
sir.
You know, there's a scenario that if we win this one, we go to Buffalo and play. Wouldn't that be an amazing scenario? So, no, I think, you know, right now it's, you know, we're as good as any team in the National Football League. And so I see, you know, if we play our game and, you know, we got a couple injuries on the right side of the offensive line, but we've got veteran guys that are filling in there. So it's not like we've got, you know, a street free agent we signed in the offseason that's got to go in and play, and he's only played two games in the National Football League. You know, Sharping has played 33 games in his career. That's why we signed him at the cutdown day. So we've got quality backups with experience as well, guys that they've got confidence in. So if we go out and play our game and, you know, everybody has an off day, and as long as we don't have an off day and we execute and we don't make mistakes, I don't see why we can't get to where we want to go again this year.
Can't make mistakes against the Baltimore Ravens in that defense. That is for sure. Well, Mr. Anderson, we always appreciate your time. And every time you come on here, we love to highlight your great charity, the Ken Anderson Alliance. We try and raise a lot of funds and do a lot of you know, things to help out that great cause. If you wouldn't mind, maybe tell us, give us a little refresher of what you all do. And maybe some new things you have in the works or that have been developed with the great charity that you got going here.
Well, you know, we say we're trying to create live, work, and engage opportunities for adults with developmental disabilities. You know, in our work program that we've got a coffee shop, our Just Brew, out at our corporate headquarters on Plainfield Road in Silverton. And we just opened another one in Harrison in the first quarter this year. We plan to open up one by Children's Hospital. So we're training people to work in this atmosphere to get them real jobs with real wages. We also have our O2 Urban Farms out on the west side where we grow lettuce indoors and a variety of lettuces that we sell, you know, to different restaurants around town. They're available. If you go to O2 Urban Farms, you'll find out where they're located in western, on the west side of town. You can buy them at several other locations. You can buy them, you know, at our Plainfield coffee shop as well. But again, training people for the workforce. We have an adult daycare program where we're servicing about 100 adults a week. A lot of it focused around music, and to go back there and to see the joy in their eyes when they're making music and learning songs. We also have over 20 Engage programs a month where we go out in groups into the community, whether it's, you know, to a Cyclones game, whether it's to dinner, whether it's to putt-putt, whether it's to a movie, whether it's volunteering at another nonprofit. Again, getting them out into the community with their friends. And of course, our big thing that we've got going is we have 22 acres we've purchased in Springfield Township. And we're going to build a community there, the Commons at Springfield. And so it's all been designed. It's all laid out. Some site prep work is being done. But, you know, sometime later on this year, we'll start our capital campaign so we get shovels in the ground to build this community.
Well, Mr. Anderson, I know this this idea for this charity has come because of some people you are close to that have developmental disabilities, and it's awesome that you are, you know, taking this thing and growing it and making it such a high impact organization. I have people that I'm close to that have developmental disabilities, so this has a special place in my heart. And, you know, you are absolutely one of our favorites on the show. We hate that we keep hounding you, but we love having you on. Our fans love having you on. And we really appreciate the time.
This is tradition. You know, we got to keep it going is. With this thing, taking us to the Super Bowl.
So, absolutely.
You know, let's follow this up. You know, we got to have a long ride here together.
That's right. Ever since you've been making appearances on this show, the Bengals have been winning playoff games. They've been making playoff runs, consecutive division championships. So we like to think this is the synergy that's causing a lot of this good.
It's
good
no, vibes. Believe me, it's no coincidence. So we'll just keep this thing going.
I appreciate it.
We'll stock up on Keystone next time. We'll stock up.
Well, not that I'm ever with.
Oh, man.
Well, the other thing that you have to look for in Cincinnati is Kenny's Day Drinking Lager.
That's right.
That's right.
That's right. Tell us a little bit about it.
It's brewed by 16 lots. I mean, we're in about, you know, 40 or 50 Kroger stores around town at the Party Source in Northern Kentucky. It's on tap at a lot of establishments. And part of the proceeds from the sale of that goes to the Ken Anderson Alliance. So if you find a place that may serve that and you're there, I check with your tax people. But I think it may be tax deductible if you drink it because part of the money goes to charity. Go. So, but you know, check with your, I always say, you know, check with your tax advisor on that, but that's my take on it anyway.
Well, when I had the pleasure of meeting you at Bengal Gym's tailgate last year, week one last year, they were serving that. And I can tell you firsthand that stuff was good, good, good. And I wish they had that out here in Southern California. I've tried to get it shipped to me, but I can't. So I'll have to make my way to Cincinnati and get more. But it's good stuff. I love it.
Yeah, well, no, there's no question about it. And like I said, get your butt back in town then.
Thank you, Mr. Anderson. Appreciate your time. I know we went a little long, but not take a care.
For you guys, I'm always here for you.
All right, appreciate it. Go get yourself a refill on that Keystone, though.
You got, when you're 73 and retired, you can have one for lunch.
I love it. I love it. I'm jealous. I love it. Take care and have fun this weekend.
All right. Thanks, guys.
All right. Appreciate it. That is Ken Anderson. Amazing. Love that guy. And yeah, you see Justin Crawley here says it sounded like that can was a little empty there. I am jealous. I wish it's 10 for me. So I unless I'm in Vegas or something, it's too early for me, but God, I love that guy.
Why was I surprised? Why was I surprised that he pulled it out?
I almost said, Ken, we always talk to you around happy hour, and I'm sorry that it's earlier than usual and it's lunchtime and whatnot, but I love that he's doing power hour at lunch. I love it, love it, love it. But yeah, go support the Ken Anderson Alliance. Here's the deal, guys and gals. We've got swag, and I don't know if John knows too much about this, but we've got some swag. We've already got some stuff queued up that we're sending out to some of the trivia winners from a while ago. Taking way too long to get that out to you. I apologize. However, we've got autographed memorabilia. There is a store as well on Ken Anderson's Ken Anderson Alliance there. You can find some Ken Anderson swag there, but we have some as well. We've got autographed memorabilia from Bengals players that we are going to give away. What you need to do is you need to send proof of a donation to the Ken Anderson Alliance, or you need to give us a super chat in our YouTube, in which we will forward to the Ken Anderson Alliance from this episode. We'll maybe go throughout the week here. And after we're hopefully calling a Bengals win, we'll announce some winners on some of this stuff. So we have some usual suspects that are always generous, but if you can, please leave a donation to the Ken Anderson Alliance. They are in need of assistance. You can also get yourself, if you want to make your donation into your own swag, you can go do that with their store. Or if you want to win some cool stuff from us, Ken Anderson, other autographed Bengals memorabilia, we will let you do that. You got to submit proof to us, whether it's at our Twitter account at BengalsOBI, email us theobinsider@gmail.com. Also give us a follow too, if you can, subscribe, all that, do that, all that kind of stuff. And we'll enter you in a raffle to win some great prizes here in the next week and a half or so. But appreciate it. Please, please, please go support the Ken Anderson Alliance. Man, he is just, I love that guy. He's just the most down-to-earth cool guy.
And that's what makes it easy to support what he's got going on. Like, sometimes you don't know the people running this stuff, but I mean, this is Ken Anderson. He's a legend. So definitely help him out now that he needs it.
And he, you know, he kind of made some availability a little bit last minute for us today. So we appreciate that big time. And John, I appreciate you. I know we kind of put this together pretty quickly here, but I think it was well worth it. We love having him on, and we don't like hounding him and asking for so much time, but we love bringing him on and talking some football with us. And if you're out there for the game this weekend, you got to keep an eye out there for him. He'll probably be hanging out in some of the local establishments, maybe the tailgates, all that kind of stuff. Gotta say what's up to Mr. Anderson.
Absolutely, guys.
Well, John, appreciate you. Appreciate the time from Mr. Ken Anderson. Go support the Ken Anderson Alliance. Win some swag from us, autographed memorabilia and whatnot. You got to submit proof of a donation. We've got some cool stuff for you. I'm not going to give it away quite yet, but I'm telling you, there's some cool stuff that we've got for you if you submit. But you got to, if you want to enter the raffle to win this kind of stuff, you got to submit a donation, submit proof, and also please follow and subscribe to our stuff. We appreciate it. And theobinsider@gmail.com or at Bengals OBI, submit some proof there. Here we go. We got someone right now. All right. Entered in a nice little donation right there. We're not capping it at minimums or maximums. Just do what you can and help them out. We appreciate it. But John, thanks for your time, man. I know we've got a lot going on this week. We've got our big show tomorrow. We're trying to get a special guest on that one as well, working on that. And then Friday, we've got two big special guests. I guess we're going to do two different live shows. I don't know. We're working with other people's schedules, and we're just trying to hammer you with content. Mike Golic, formerly of ESPN and decades, a iconic voice, an iconic voice in the sports world. We're set to talk with him. And then, of course, former Ravens tight end and Believe in Ravens host Daniel Wilcox. Looking forward to that. John, have you and the elite hosts of Daddy-O and Hoji, have you spoken with Daniel Wilcox yet?
I believe we've spoken with Daniel Wilcox like on this show. So that is my exposure with him.
Okay. He's a great guest. Okay. Yes. So we're looking forward to that. We're going to bring you that. Maybe some more special guests as well. Also, if you had not had the opportunity, go check out Jim's Bengal Jim show last night. He had Andrew Whitworth on the program, and that'll be available soon on the podcast channel, iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Cincy Jungle podcast channel. Our YouTube channel can be subscribed to below beneath John and that SB Nation logo. So go check that out. We appreciate it, John, again, publicly. I appreciate you, man. I know we had to work some things to get you on and be on here, but I appreciate you making it work, my friend.
We're going back to back to back to back to, I don't know how many shows we got.
I know.
Give them all to you.
I feel bad, dude. I don't want to keep asking so much time from you, but
the content never stops, boys. Let's do this.
It doesn't. All right. Take care, everybody. And we will be back with a lot more this week. Thanks again to Ken Anderson.